listening to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Welcome to the guest segment of our show. Hope you enjoyed the intro. And we have a special guest, John Q. Public. I'd like to call him Q, but you'll think it's Q Anonymous, and we all know that guy's not real. So, I don't know, do we call him Mr. Public? Do we call him John? We'll figure that out as we go. But we have someone who's kind of like the average Joe on the street, and he's got questions, and he's probably more aware than most Americans about what's going on, but he wants to know more, and we thought this would be instructive for people who really aren't up on current events as much, because they'll probably have a lot of the same questions. But before we go to John Q. Public, we have a couple of things we need to tell you about. We really do, because, well, first of all, let me just get right to the point here. We have a new TV show, and it aired on August 3rd. So what are we in, about 5 weeks into this now, on the eve of 9/11, for which we'll never have the truth. And so when we look at this, wow, we have a TV show that's just kicking butt, and it's not because of yours truly. I'm kind of like your no-talent quarterback who all I have to do is hand the ball off, but I have great players around me. And I, too, Trent Dilfer, can win the Super Bowl. And that's kind of what we're doing here on our TV show. Listen to me. For less than a cup of coffee a month, $2.50 a month on the annual plan, you get unlimited access. And the great guests that we have, we put unbelievable people up there, and people are saying, man, this is good. There's no censorship. There's no commercials. And you got to hear a couple here because we got to pay to be on the air, ladies and gentlemen. We got to pay for that airtime. But anyway, thecommonsenseshow.tv is where you want to go and become part of our family, because we're expanding our reach. Podcasts, website for articles, radio, which you're hearing now, and now we have TV. Why do we have to diversify? Because Big Brother keeps interfering with us. So that's why. Anyway, we have a couple of sponsors that you really need to pay attention to. There's coming a day very quickly you're not going to be able to get the food you need or at an affordable price. And let me ask you a question. Do you have 2 years storable food? Okay, now for the 95% of you that don't, do you have 6 months? That's the DHS recommended minimum. That's what I thought. Probably about 10% of you have that. So, are you ready to get started before it's too late? Okay, well, we got the deal for you. At preparewithdave.com, we have $100 off the four-week special. You go, 4 weeks, that's all? But think about it. This is the most inexpensive way, if you buy multiple sets, to build your food storage. And it's restaurant quality, completely safe, 25-year shelf life. And people, one guy came and he bought 100 sets. 100 sets. What's 100 times 4? 4 weeks. He's ready. He's probably ready for the second coming. But anyway, we recommend you do that. Okay, so go to preparewithdave.com. And if you have food, you got to have water. Now, here's the problem in a prolonged crisis. On the fifth day, the Naval War College says the biggest cause of death is waterborne illness. And you'll always find standing water. Runoff water, palm water, scum water, pool water, whatever it is. But you can't drink it, or you'll die of something like sporidium. But if you have the right water filter, then you're not going to have a problem. And I recommend you buy two or three of these, because things break and things get stolen. We have three here in the Hodges household. And then we also have that solar water heater that you've seen me advertise over on YouTube. So we're really set with the water. You need to be too. And right now they're offering their product for 40% off while supplies last. That's a key word, while supplies last. And if you go to waterwithdave.com, there's research. that says, this is how our product compares to the competitors. They're number one. 40% off for the best there is. This will save lives. Waterwithdave.com for the water. Preparewithdave.com for the food. And now we have our version of commercial-free radio to the end. Well, Mr. John Q. Public, I'm glad you could be with us. And I'm glad you've agreed to come on and kind of share your concerns or questions in an understandable format where I can articulate some answers, because I think some of what we do sometimes is over people's heads that are just getting started in this. So we're glad you could come on.
Well, thanks for having me, David. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. Okay, so let's start off. I'm just going to let you pick the topic. You get to form the question, and I'll give you the best answer I can.
You know, Dave, we've had this pandemic for so long now, and it's become kind of ridiculous. You hear all these different numbers, and it's my understanding that they've faked some of the COVID data, that they haven't been really truthful about the actual number of people who got the disease and the actual number of people who have actually passed away from the disease. What can you tell me about that?
Oh, I'm glad this is commercial-free the rest of the way, because we'd be running into the break on this one. The fraud comes on multiple fronts, and then they've given themselves permission to commit fraud, and I'll cover all that here. First of all, let's start off with the tests. On April 18th, FDA Commissioner Hahn issued a written statement that's on my website at thecommonsenseshow.com, and he said, and I quote, "Due to the emergency nature of the situation regarding COVID-19, we are not requiring test manufacturers to go through validation of tests. We trust that they'll do a good job." If anyone has a ninth grade science background, if you don't have measures of reliability and validity on your tests, if you don't have a margin of error, if you don't have your false positive rate before you go to market, you don't have a test, and any number you say can't be believed. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's ridiculous. I cannot believe that they said that.
Well, he didn't just say it in April. He said it again in May. So you would think over 30 days they could start making some progress in that area, but they didn't. So this has led to abuses, like in Florida on July the 11th. There were 334 testing sites in which thousands of people were tested, and every one of them came back positive. That'd be like winning the lottery every day for about 6 months.
Yeah.
It's just not possible. Well, then there were 34 more sites that the positivity rate was between 91 and 99%. That's called having a stacked deck.
Yeah.
So I'll continue. Go ahead. You want to follow up on that?
Yeah, statistically, that's not even possible. I mean,
no.
If you had the right group, and it, you know, then and you can't get those kind of numbers.
Well, let me tell you, I've got SPSS stat package because I used to be an old stat professor, and I've actually written a couple stat courses, and I ran the numbers, the odds, the probabilities. It's in the neighborhood of about 970 billion to one that this is a coincidence.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, the numbers were just off the charts. I mean, we almost got to a quadrillion on the odds. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, that's one thing. The other thing that we see is that COVID-19, the tests are sensitive to people who've had colds. So you may not have had COVID. You could even test negative, if there is such a thing. But it'll come back positive, and all you had was a common cold. That's real common. That happens a lot.
Oh, I never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's been out there. That was actually discussed in the media, mainstream media, for a while, and I'm going to say back in May. And then people started asking too many questions, and they buried the topic. All right, now down for the fraud. This is the part where your question seemed to center. The federal government incentivized fraud. And here's what I mean. I can't remember the exact amount. I think it was $13,000 are paid to local government or local health departments by the federal government for every COVID diagnosis. So Florida hit the lottery on July the 11th. And and for every death, it's a payment out of $38,000 for each COVID death. So there are stories like this. I've talked to a number of nurses and doctors who contact me, and obviously they're not going public, but they say, well, Dave, I was treating a guy for diabetes, and he had stage 5 kidney failure. In other words, the guy was days away from dying, and eventually he succumbs. And they tested him the day before he died, and they said, oh, he's now got COVID. And so he had congestive heart failure. He had had a brain aneurysm, wasn't doing well. And then he had this absolute kidney failure, and dialysis was a waste of time now. And they put down COVID as the single cause of death. And then there was the story about an emergency room nurse who told me, guy was brought in from a motorcycle accident, had severe head trauma after having run into the back of a truck, and he wasn't wearing a helmet. He was effectively DOA when he came in. And they ran his vitals, and he came back with COVID, so they listed COVID as the cause of death.
So running your head into something like that didn't cause the death, it was the COVID.
Yeah. it gets worse. Then you have people, there was a story about these medical professionals in San Bernardino. And they contacted me, and this has actually been out there in the local news, but not national. But they were told they had to go get tested. Okay, so they were released after lunch to go get tested. And they filled out the paperwork, and it's now 4 o'clock. They've been there 3 hours. And they says, no, I got kids to pick up from granny who's babysitting while I'm working, or that kind of thing. So they had to get back to the office, get their belongings, and leave. And they leave. 3 days later, they all got letters from the testing center saying they tested positive. This is common. This is common. So there's built-in fraud. And the reason being, think about what COVID has done. COVID has destroyed the economy, taken away about half the jobs in America. And cities know they're not going to have a tax revenue next year, so they're trying to stockpile with these fake numbers as quickly as they can. So that's another part of this, okay? But the other thing, I'll give you an example that's happened here where I live in Arizona, at Arizona State. The Arizona State people were only reporting active cases, okay? And then the CDC just went ape you-know-what and said, why aren't you reporting past cases? And Dr. Michael Crow, the president of ASU, had a great answer. He said, people catch it. People get over it. We don't deal with that here. We're only concerned with active cases. Well, you still have to put those numbers down. So they artificially inflate the numbers. How do you like them apples?
You know, so this, it almost seems like it's a conspiracy to bring us down. I don't know whether it's because of the election or just because somebody in the world doesn't like us or something, but that's troubling. That's extreme. That's just not troubling. That's scary as heck.
Yeah. I could go on and on, but I think you get the idea. I could tell more conspiracy stories, but I think that's the overall flair. From test creation without validation, which means you have no reliability in your numbers, to absolute incentivized fraud by the federal government and the state and local governments taking advantage of it, to faulty testing, and by the way, too, watch out, because this fall, in the early CDC protocols, they said that getting to stage 1, stage 2, stage 3 of opening up, they're going to include the flu numbers. Now, that really bothers me, because when this started in March, they said, this is way worse than the flu. You can't trust the numbers. It's the flu. It's not the flu. It's not the flu. It's not the flu. And now they're including flu numbers, all because they want to inflate the numbers. And my conspiracy theory is this. In Governor Ducey, who has multiple conflicts of interest, in his guidelines to reopen, he says that community spread must be zero. And he's calling for the eradication of the virus. That's part one of two parts to reopen. There's never been an eradication of a virus, ever, ever. You can't completely stamp out a virus. I suppose you could if every living thing on the planet were to die. But that'd be the only way to accomplish that. And that will never happen, and so therefore we'll never satisfy that part. And then Doug Ducey is on the board of TGen. And TGen has contracts with, you guessed it, manufacturing for vaccines. They're business partners. And Ducey's second protocol, 60% of the people have to be vaccinated. And that's your phase two opening. And he's on the board of TGen. And also, TGen has a partnership with Sonora Quest Laboratories that does the bulk of the testing. So Doug Ducey, the governor, can use his power as governor to direct funds to where he's on the board of governors. A total conflict of interest, both on the vaccine and the testing side, and no one's calling him on it. And when you do, they call you a conspiracy theorist, even though you can go to the website of TGen and see he's on the board of directors. How do you like them apples?
How people get away with that. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. He's keeping us locked down. Like, the casinos could be open, but the gyms couldn't. Casinos can be open, but the churches can't. He's trying to make us miserable and make the standard such that you must take the vaccine or you won't get out of, shall we say, jail.
Well,
he profits.
Well, that's all.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Dave, thanks for letting me know all that.
I warned you, it was long. You asked a great question.
Yeah. Okay, I've got another question. I've heard something about there's a threat of us losing our money, like in our 401ks and our savings accounts and things like that. If there's a possibility of something like that happening to us. Do you know about this, and can you tell me if there's any truth to it at all?
Well, absolutely. I've been advertising for Noble Gold for years, and I saw all the good things they were doing for people, and then I came to an aha moment, and this was about 3 months ago, and I said, oh my gosh, if your 401k, like my wife's is tied into her former employer that she retired from, and the employer were to go belly up, the 401k goes away. And if you have a 401k with a bank, and the bank goes into receivership, and right now the Federal Reserve owns 33% of all mortgages in America now, so the housing market is near free fall. We're not far away from it. And so if that happens and the banks are left holding the bag and they start to fail, your 401k goes away. So Noble Gold actually produces this IRA that's gold-backed. And although we're not advertising for them in this segment, we should be, 877-646-5347. But they actually have gold-backed IRAs. And that means gold that's held its value for 6,000 years will back up the IRA. So your question, another great question, ding, 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 for John Q. Public, because your IRA is only as good as what's backing it up. That's the answer to your question. Well, look at our economy. Shall we be frank? What is it? 58% of all small businesses that were in business at the time of COVID and the restrictions are now out of business. 110 million working Americans in February of this year. And now, that's, by the way, defined as 30 hours or more per week. And now that number has shrunk by 50%. That tells you how bad the economy is. And mom and pop restaurants, 85% are supposed to be out of business by the end of the year, and 80% of small businesses. And we have major corporate chains failing too. And there's going to have to be major bailouts, or all the airlines are going to go under, probably about 75 oil companies. So what does that say about the stability of the economy in answer to your question?
Yeah. That doesn't look good. Well, thanks again for the information. Now, I've also heard about FEMA camps. And
you conspiracy theorist.
I know. Well, you know, I hear this stuff, and I want to know, is it possible for us to be shipped out to a FEMA camp?
It's not only possible, it's beginning to happen. I don't even know where to start with this. Let's start in New Zealand. I have been telling people now for about 3 months, watch New Zealand, watch Australia. They are beta tests for what's going on. What they're testing there on smaller size populations, they're extrapolating their mistakes and their good points to bring it here to America. And people said, Dave, that's a conspiracy theory. And I have said this week, the conspiracy theory awakens in America. Let me go back 6 years, and then I'll bring it into the present. There was a document I came across quite by accident in September of 2014. And it was a document that was called ESF number 8. And it was from Human Health Services with UN input. And they took two executive orders as the justification for the act, one from Obama and one from George W. Bush, and both define what physical conditions would you have to be transported involuntarily and confined at what I started to term a FEMA medical martial law camp. And I mean that term exactly, but they called it a medical camp. Okay, well, I did a little research on ESF number 8, and there were 17 agencies that were a signatory to this agreement. The FBI, DHS, the State Department, but not one medical organization. No Doctors Without Borders, no National Institute of Health, no CDC. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute. They're transporting you for these defined symptoms like sniffling and coughing, that's congestion and stuff. And they would send you out, but they don't have anyone there to treat you?
What are you supposed to do if you're sick? You just go there to die?
I think what this is, in a communist takeover, and would you agree that we're in the midst of a communist takeover right now?
It sure seems like it.
Yeah, the Constitution is null and void. There is no pandemic exception to the Constitution, according to federal court Judge Deaver, and he's exactly right. Yet governors and mayors have taken it upon themselves to make up their own rules and become their own dictators. So, having said that, the Constitution is gone. So we are in the midst of a Bolshevik revolution, is what I call it. And if the Bolsheviks take over, okay, you heard Kamala Harris? She's already said, on day 100, I'm taking your guns if Congress doesn't do it, and you're not going to have cars. And I'm thinking, wow, boy, you're really endearing yourself to the public. But she has already said this now on the campaign trail. So you've got that attitude. That's a communist attitude. That's called you have no property rights, you have nothing. Well, Fred, it's going to get ugly. Now, people are going to rise up and protest. So we have a medical martial law camp. So let's take the New Zealand model right now. They've got a woman there as the Prime Minister, Ardern. She is a piece of work. In fact, actually this weekend I'm interviewing an activist from New Zealand who's going to give me the lowdown. But they have it now to where you can't barter. They're trying to lock people into digital currency. They're just starting it now. And they have all kinds of restrictions. You can't give food out to people because it might be COVID. And now she has said, now this is based on 14 active cases in the whole country, they're going to take the active people and put them in confinement at an undisclosed location. This is New Zealand. Now, it gets worse. When you go into a building now by law, they have a QR reader paper on the entrance of the door, and you must scan your phone to the QR reader. And that records when you come in. So if John Q. Public goes in there at 8 a.m. and you're COVID positive, and I go in there at, I don't know, let's say 5 p.m. and you're long gone and no chance of transmission, they don't record when you leave. If we're in the building on the same day, they can come and snatch me as a, quote, suspected COVID exposed person. Okay, that's their problem. Too bad. It's so sad for New Zealand. Governor of Ohio. What a piece of work he is. He is now putting shelters in undisclosed locations. And if you're COVID positive, and wait till you hear this one. If your kid is at school and he or she tests positive for COVID, they're going. And they won't tell the parents where they're at.
No, that this country.
If you go to the CDC website today, and I wrote an article on it, you can go to thecommonsenseshow.com and read the article. And I verbatim posted the restrictions from the CDC. They call it the ABC plan. Send your kid with extra supplies, extra medicine, extra this, extra that. Because we might have to keep them overnight. This blends right into the governor, and he quotes the CDC for his policies. It doesn't end there. Remember New Zealand? If you and I are in the building on the same day, but we don't even come into contact in any approximate time, I can still be, or you could still be sent away because you were in the building on the same day as someone who was positive. They don't record when you leave. He, this governor now, has taken upon himself to say that if we suspect you, here's the language, suspect that you may, capital letters suspect, capital letters may, if we suspect you may have been exposed, we can send you to those camps too. Article on thecommonsenseshow.com. You can go, when we're completed this interview, you can go look this up. I verbatim put the CDC regulations on there. And this was rehearsed in 2011. Operation Mountain Guardian, it was a multifaceted operation, but one of the things they did was FEMA came in to Denver Public Schools and they extracted kids from class in the elementary schools without telling the parents. And only one principal refused. Say, I don't care what you got. You don't have a court order. You're not taking kids out of here, and I'm calling the cops. They backed off. But every other school acquiesced, and these kids went to Sports Authority Field where the Broncos played football. And they had hired crisis actors to assail the stadium to desensitize the security to not giving in to parental demands to release their kids. But they didn't need those actors very long. And this is, by the way, this was on September 23rd, 2011. And what happened was when Mommy Smith shows up to take Billy Smith to the dentist for his noon appointment, what do you mean he's not here? Well, FEMA came and took him to Sports Authority Field. What? And you let this happen? And there were about 300 parents there rioting to get their kids back. They rehearsed this already 9 years ago. And now it's going in play. Now, this isn't getting attention nationally. I have contacts. One of my researchers lives in Ohio. And I'm getting all the local reports. And that's not my only source. I mean, this is now, among people who do what I do in the independent media, this is pretty well-known fact right now. That's how far... So let me ask you the question. Based on what you just heard, okay, from the ESF number 8... to New Zealand, to now here, would you say there's FEMA camps?
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll give you something else. I have regular contact with a lady named Celeste Solemn. She wrote some of the ESF regulations. She's been on my show a number of times, and Celeste educated me that there's ESF number 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Things haven't fundamentally changed. They've only revised the extraction procedures, how they'll transport people to the camps and so forth. And I have a copy of the camps, the documentation for that. It's called FM39.4, and it's filed under the Army. So what they do is when they're doing a full operation, what they do is they spread out the authority so it makes it harder for people to find. So one FOIA document for information won't extract all the facts. So there's an Army field manual called FM39.4, and they lay out the exquisite details of a FEMA camp. Now, if you want to get really conspiratorial, they have everything in there, how they have to march to meals, how far apart the beds are in the dormitories, how many guards will be there, the fact that they're going to eventually bring in foreign guards and train foreign guards to take over the camps, which I'm sure is going to be the UN, and probably do horrible things to people that U.S. soldiers might not do to Americans. And the reason I say that is this. In this exquisite document, over 100 pages long, they have all these daily routine activities regulated from what you eat, where you eat, but they don't have one thing on body disposal. Not one. And you're going to tell me that you're going to confine people for an undetermined amount of time and no one is ever going to die. And so you have all these details on all these operations, but you don't have anything on death. And I'm telling you why. Celeste Solemn told me, the FEMA official, she said, well, that's because if you go to the camp, what they're going to do is they're going to determine who's re-educatable and who they can let back into society who can serve their purpose. Now, remember, we're talking about post-Bolshevik Revolution, doing away with the Constitution, and these radical Democrats taking over. And so they're going to determine who gets recruited, okay, to get out of the camps because they're re-educatable. If you don't have any useful skills, it's either guillotined, and I'm not joking when I say this, or it's gas, just like the Nazi Nazis did to the Jews. And I'll share this thought with you too. I used to interview a guy named Larry Grathwall, the late Larry Grathwall. He was an FBI special informant. And when Bill Ayers was running the Weatherman Underground, which was a communist attempted overthrow of our government, they weren't hippies protesting the Vietnam War. These were Ivy League graduates whose parents were successful. Like Bill Ayers' dad, Tom Ayers, was the head of Con Ed in Illinois. And that was typical. And they were leading all these communist subversive activities. Their activities led to the death of three law enforcement officials, for which Bernadine Doran, Bill Ayers' wife, did several years in prison. Neither one of them, both felons. They teach at universities, but they're not allowed to hold a law degree. I don't know what university to hire them, but Northwestern and the University of Chicago has. So going further, this is going to shock you. I hope you're sitting down. Bill Ayers,
I am.
Bill Ayers launched the political career of Barack Obama. But let me tell you why this is critical. When the informant, the FBI informant, Larry Grathwall, sat down with Bill Ayers one time, and he said, well, Bill, if you ever win, what are you going to do? And he said, well, we're probably going to have to take 50 million or more Americans and put them in re-education camps in the Southwest, and then we'll probably have to do away with, meaning murder, over half of them. And that man launched Obama's president, or career that will end up being president, from state senator to the presidency. And he visited the White House several times during Obama's tenure. So I would say the writing's on the wall, wouldn't you?
Well, it sure seems like it. Doggone it. Well, Dave, I got one more question for you. I'm concerned about voter fraud. The way we're, the way I'm afraid the election will be manipulated by the Democratic Party, and they're going to end up stealing the election, a la Mayor Daley getting the JFK elected by manipulating Chicago and Illinois. So what are our chances of having an honest and fair election?
Zero.
I mean, there's going to always fraud, Dave. I know that. I mean, there's always going to be somebody who's going to, you know, the old Democratic motto was vote early and often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, there's always some of that going on. I saw a video of some mailmen taking a box of ballots and dumping them in a bin, in trash bin, just recently. So I mean, I know it's always going to be here, but is it enough to completely change the election?
I'll just give you one example. In Las Vegas, they sent out 1 million ballots, they being the Democrats. 200,000 of them were returned. They went to people who were dead or no longer lived at the address. Okay, and then also in places like Vegas, they have a law where they can do ballot harvesting. They go into, they go into a nursing home, and you can go up to a dementia patient, you know, and like Joe Biden's twin, and you can say, would you like to vote? Yeah. And they fill out the ballot form and no signature required. What could go wrong?
Yeah,
but it gets worse. My own brother-in-law got a ballot while we were over in California vacationing in July from the Democrats. I know somebody in my area here where I live, they got a ballot for their dog. I don't know how they got the dog's name, but they got a ballot for the dog.
Oh, my.
Okay, and here's how they steal elections. They did this. Paul Preston, who's the president of the New California 51st State Movement, told me this story a long time ago. Orange County is fiercely Republican and conservative because they're rich. They've earned their living. They don't live on welfare. And so the Democrats won some seats, and this is how they did it. They allowed unlimited mail-in balloting, and on the election night, they declared all the Republicans winners. 6 weeks later, all these ballots showed up, and some Democrats overturned the results. That's what Trump is facing.
Oh, wow.
But I have more. This is not... Well, this is something... I did a TV interview with Paul Preston, the man I just mentioned, and he told me something he's talked to the Trump administration people about, because the Trump administration's firmly on board with the California attorney having a 51st state come out of it. And he talks to them a lot, and what they told him is this, is that if he declares insurrection in the country, all mail-in voting stops. So at 7 o'clock in each time zone on November 3rd, if the president makes an insurrection call, if you haven't mailed your ballot or it's not received at that time, it does not count.
Oh. Wow.
I don't know if that's enough to turn it around, but I'm going to tell you something else that really concerns me. We've got communist Chinese and Ukrainians in Salt Lake City and Seattle and now Louisville. And they are supplying Antifa and Black Lives Matter with automatic weapons and RPGs. And I have this on excellent authority. Federal law enforcement, I've got it from the Canadian side of things because the Chinese are being allowed by Trudeau to stay in British Columbia in large numbers. And I'll get into that in a minute because I think it's something that we should cover before we go. And so now they're making their way into Seattle and Portland, and they're training these people for paramilitary activity. So they're turning these people into a military force. And I'm going to go one step further with this, because this is going to come back to voter intimidation, which goes to answer your question. In Aurora, Colorado, my hometown, 5 weeks ago, Black Lives Matter shut down Interstate 225. And down the road from where they did the shutdowns were tall buildings. And the Aurora police, and we have this from multiple reports, and I'm talking police, ex-police, lawyers. There's no question this happened. The Aurora police observed unarmed people, presumably Antifa, on top of tall buildings along the I-225 corridor, and they looked like they were rehearsing sniper drills with spotters and shooters, but without weapons. The same thing got reported in Austin, Texas, 1 week later. They're ready to ramp this up with the kind of weapons I just mentioned. And today, on the day of this report, I'm sure you've seen what happened in Louisville today. They've joined Seattle and Portland. Did you catch that?
I saw something about it, but I wasn't able to hear the thing. I heard something about Kentucky, but I don't know what it was.
Well, you've opened up some other avenues, too, I want to cover before we go, because you've asked really good questions. But I want to talk about why Canada is letting the Chi-Coms do what they're doing and using their place as a launching point for what I would basically label as combat advisors for Antifa and Black Lives Matter, as well as material supporters. Canada, the world is facing a water crisis. The U.S. in many cities, the water table has receded, like in San Francisco, New York, Denver, about 400 to 500 feet. And now it's getting almost cost prohibitive to get water out from that deep, and we're in drought seasons too. And so it's getting really, really bad. This is going on in China, India, and many of the countries in Europe. There is one country that has more water than anybody else because True North is rotated a little bit, and it's caused new ice caps to form, but old ice caps to melt. And this has produced the world's biggest freshwater supply, and it's in Canada. And it's our operating hypothesis, with a lot of support behind this, that Canada will be exporting water in this century like the U.S. did oil. And we dominated the world because we controlled oil distribution. And we controlled the money connected to oil by becoming the reserve currency. Canada's in the same position now. And this is why Trudeau is letting China in to British Columbia with massive amounts of soldiers. Because when this happens, the Canadian military is not strong enough to defend themselves, but the Chinese might be. And Canada and China could literally rule the world. And I'm not the... By the way, I found something on YouTube. There's a guy named... I think it's Jack Chappelle. This guy's really good. I've listened to some of his stuff. He didn't talk about the Chinese component, but he did talk about the fact that Canada is going to lead the world in fresh water. And there's future wars of the world will be fought in large part over over water, water and food, much more so than oil. So Trudeau has totally become an enemy of the United States. He's backing a country right now that we very easily could go to war with, and we're on the edge of war with right now. Canada is not our friend. I'm not. I like the Canadian people. They've been really good neighbors, and I love Canadians, but their government is anti-American now, totally, 100%. And Trudeau has converted to Muslim, to Islam, and he's become a communist, and his people hate him, and he only wins because they had rigged elections. So there's another answer to your question. Can they do enough to cheat to win? I think it's the only way Donald Trump loses is if they cheat on the election. There's no way Biden can get elected. I mean, come on. Do you know right now they're saying 34% of blacks are going to vote for Trump? But I think that number is low, because I don't think a lot of black people want to say to other black people, I'm voting for Trump. Oh, you Uncle Tom, you, how do you dare you do this? But when they close the curtain, and I've had black people tell me this, when I close the curtain, I'm voting for Trump, because he's done something for my people and their jobs, and the Democrats have done nothing but phony promises.
Yeah.
There's no way Trump can lose. There's no way unless they cheat massively. And I think they could tip this election by 20 million votes if Trump allows it. See, Trump basically needs to declare the Insurrection Act. He needs to arrest these governors and mayors for voter fraud. Do you know that in a lot of Democratic states, they're not even going to open the polls? They're trying to do 100% mail-in balloting so they can steal the votes.
I heard that the other day. That's amazing.
Yeah, Trump cannot allow that. And the Democrats are trying to line up a military coup against Trump. Oh, this is something I think will interest you along the lines of your question. You may not be aware of the Washington Post publishing an excerpt from a book written by Bob Woodward, you know, the guy who exposed Nixon.
I heard about that, but I don't know anything about it. I just heard about it.
Oh, I can tell you about it. I read the excerpt. I don't know if I have this available now. I probably don't. But I read the excerpt on a podcast about 2 hours ago. Woodard is using Cohen as a main source for his book. A convicted felon, sleazeball, I mean, just a bad, bad guy. And I'm thinking, how good can your book be? That's one thing about his book. But in the WAPO, Washington Post excerpt from Woodard's book, he quotes a meeting that Mattis had, General Mattis, with the Director of National Intelligence, Chapman, and they were discussing a coup to take Trump out of office, and that's in this book.
Oh, wow.
So you're talking the former Secretary of Defense is plotting a coup against the president, according to Bob Woodard.
What was the basis of the feud between him and Trump?
Woodard is deep state. He was an Obama guy, and I don't think Trump realized it when he hired him, and Mattis went against him on everything.
And why did he go against him on everything?
Because he was appointed by Obama, because he's a flaming liberal.
Oh, I didn't know that. He's one of those generals that was appointed by Obama.
Well, yeah. He made his big jump in rank when Obama started firing other generals, and Mattis was the beneficiary, and Trump wasn't aware of it. Trump has had really bad advice because the deep state is so thick. Let me just share with you what I've been told by a retired lieutenant general. He said when the Civil War comes, he didn't say if, he said when the Civil War comes, you will not be deciding it, Dave. Just get the hell out of the way and defend your yard. He said this will be general against general. FBI agent against FBI agent. DHS agent against DHS agent. He said these entities are so compromised right now that they'll never work in unison together, and they will end up fighting each other in a civil war.
Oh, my.
And here's the bad news. With that kind of chaos nationally, that's when I think the Chinese crossed the Canadian border. That's when they used the cartels and Central and South American forces and the CHICOMs who are embedded in parts of Mexico are going to cross our southern border, and we will be invaded. Now, I don't think this is an invasion designed to capture the United States. I think it's like death by a thousand cuts. We'll have to commit so many resources and materiel to repulse this invasion, and it's going to be hard to put down because a lot of the forces that will help these people are fifth column forces that are already here, like ISIS, Antifa, Black Lives Matter. And so this is going to be a never-ending situation, and we're in a declining economy. And in a declining economy, that shows up first in your military's long-term ability to maintain a war front. And in other words, if we go to war with China, because I think this is going to happen, a world war with China and Russia, we will have to go nuclear because we don't have the industrial base any longer to support a long-term war. Does that make any sense to you?
It does, yeah.
And this is what scares me the most. Now, I have talked to an economist. He said they'll just martial law the economy and get what they need. And I said, yeah, but there's only half left of what was left. And most of that's debt. So what are you going to do? If you can't find enough workers to pull coal out or manufacture planes or if the auto plants are all shut down because of the lockdowns, I said, what makes you think you're going to get anything done in time to turn the tide of war? And he said, well, that's a good point. So we have compromised ourselves, and that kind of leads me to this, okay? You asked a lot of good questions about COVID. What I'll tell you is this is COVID was, I'll tell you what we believe, and then I'll tell you what we can prove. What we believe is Hunter Biden, we know he transferred F-35 technology to the Chinese on Air Force One, Obama's plane, in 2015. We have seen on Scribd, S-C-R-I-B-D, we've seen the manifest, and then they scrubbed it. And one of my researchers does have a copy. So that's one thing. They also had unidentified crates at that time that were biohazard crates. We believe that this virus was developed and sent out of Ukraine, which is where the F-35 technology transfer took place. And we think that we gave them the biovirus too, the COVID-19. And they sent it. That's what we believe. Now, we can prove the F-35. The other one we suspect. But I will tell you this. Back in 2017, and this has now come out in the last 10 days, there were manufactured COVID-19 masks that were labeled as such, COVID virus, 2017, 2018, 2019. Okay. Bill Gates did an exercise in August and September of 2019, and it was called Event 201, and it was the government's response to a COVID pandemic in the United States. Bill Gates, this is before it broke out in China. So Bill Gates must be psychic. That's public. Yeah. Event 201 is public. Now, they tried to scrub a lot of this off the internet, but too many people have, copies. They have hard copies. And then the World World Economic Forum, which are the elite of the elite, the Rothschilds and Rockefeller family and so forth, they try to set the world's agenda. They're the, you know, the climate change gurus, the one world government. We got to have one digital currency. That's what the World Economic Forum is. The World Economic Forum is on record, and this is pretty close to a quote. COVID virus gives us the opportunity to reshape the planetary politics as well as its economic systems. They said this in January of this year. This is before we even had the first diagnosed case in the United States was January 27th. And they made this statement on January 1st. So they knew what was coming, okay? And I'm gonna, I hope you're sitting down for this one, because this is what's coming very quickly, because we got about 30 seconds. The fourth industrial revolution is starting with AI, and they want to bring it in quickly, and they want to get rid of industrialization, and that's why COVID was brought here, to destroy economies through the lockdown. So on that note, my friend, John Q. Public, we have to close, but I want to thank you for coming on and asking these insightful questions, because the average person's thinking of it. We got to sign off before we get cut off. So I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, David. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Thanks, John Q. Public. Thank you.